Welcome, MQ fans. Thank you very much for attending another presentation of MQ PubSub. This time we'll cover topic host routing clusters. Let's go to page number 2. This presentation is one of a series. For the complete list, please see the following. In particular, the following will be referenced often in this presentation, and it is about direct route clusters and proxy subscriptions. And the reason for the reference is because there will be a comparison between the direct route clusters and the topic host routing clusters in order to see what is the benefit of using one versus the other. Let's go to page 3. And there is a related zip file that will be included with the DCF item, the tech doc. And this zip file has 4 files. 3 of them are cluster caches for the partial repositories number 4, 6, and 7. And then for the partial repository number 4, there will be a file that contains some display commands for running QSC. And let's go to page number 4. The agenda is this. We'll create a topic host routing cluster, and then we'll examine the behavior in a cluster when a cluster topic is added and specifying the attribute clroute topic host. The default value for this attribute is direct, which is the type of clustering that we studied in the previous presentation. And we'll have a discussion on the proxy subscribers. Let's go to page number 5. Topic host routing was introduced in MQ version 8 as an alternative for the potentially large performance impact of direct routing. In direct routing, every partial repository will be connected through means of a cluster sender channel to every other one. If you have a smaller cluster, that could not be a problem. But if you have large cluster, 100 queue managers, 500 queue managers, this could be a potentially impact, because every time that you create a cluster topic or a subscriber, everybody else needs to be notified, and you will see that there will be a lot of traffic in the network. Then the idea of the topic host routing is to designate one of the partial repositories as the queue manager that will actually send the broadcast of the messages to the subscribers. Now, every other partial repository will talk to that designated queue manager, we call it the topic host, and that particular, and everybody will send whenever there is a publisher in any of the other partial repositories, those partial repositories will not broadcast to everybody the messages. Instead, only one message will be sent. It will be to the topic host, and the topic host will send the message to everybody else. And let's go to page number 6. For me, one way to remember better about the objective for this type of cluster is that all the partial repositories, except one or maybe two, the ones that are designated, will delegate to one specific queue manager the task of broadcasting to the subscribers. The way to assign the feature of topic host is by using, when you create a cluster topic, you have to specify an attribute called clroute, and you have to specify the keyword topic host. The default is direct. If you don't use clroute, then you will have the direct route cluster. Now let's go to page number 7. There are some tutorials that you can use to create a cluster, and it tells you step by step. This page was mentioned in the previous presentation, but I thought that it was important to include it now, just in case you were bypassing the previous presentation and you wanted to go directly into the topic host type of clusters. Let's go to page number 8. Let's talk about the topology for this cluster. It is very similar to the one that we use in the previous presentation about direct routing clusters. Same topology, just the names are slightly different. Instead of beginning with cluster direct routing, CDR begins with cluster TH, topic host. And still we'll have two hosts. Each host has four queue managers. One of them is a full repository and three partials. Each full repository is connected to the six PRs, and each PR is connected to the two full repositories. At this moment, there are no connections between the PRs, and there are no cluster queues, no cluster topics. Everything is from scratch, but it's fully connected. Let's go to page number 9. This is the topology with the names of the partial repositories, the full repositories. The repositories are shown in green at the top, and the other ones are shown in this kind of grayish-bluish color. Each one has a different port number. Those arrows are the ones between the cluster sender and cluster receivers, and those are the connections mentioned in the previous slide, in the sense that each full repository is connected to everyone else, and each of the partials is connected only to two, the full repositories, but not to other partials. There are two types of lines used in this diagram to represent the cluster sender channels. The dotted lines indicate those cluster sender channels that are created manually. These are the ones that the MQ administrator creates manually. When a partial repository joins a cluster by connecting to a full repository, it is necessary to connect that partial repository only with one full repository. For example, in host number 1, partial repository number 3 is manually connected to the full repository number 1 in the same host. The clustering code will automatically create another cluster sender channel between the partial repository and the second full repository. These automatically created cluster sender channels are represented with a solid line in the diagram. This is one of the advantages of using clustering, in which you can reduce the amount of MQ administration commands, because the clustering code will create cluster channels as necessary automatically for you. What I wanted to do was I wanted to start showing what is new, and if I use this as a base, it's just too busy, too much noise. Then let's go to page number 10. And this is the view that we are going to use in the rest of the presentation, in which those basic cluster sender channels, the ones that form the cluster, will not be shown. But still they are, okay? It's just I want to concentrate on what is new. And let's go to page 11. In this case, we'll be showing a diagram in the next slide, but I wanted to show you, to explain to you about that diagram. There is a partial repository that we'll be using, that will be number 7. Right now has only the cluster sender channels to the full repositories. And there will be two views. The first one is in page number 12. This is the one at the bottom of the left navigational panel. You will see a folder called the Queue Manager Clusters. If you don't have clusters, that folder will be empty. But in this case, we have one cluster. It's called cluster TH for topic host. We can see in the left side that we have two full repositories and we have six partial repositories. In this case, I'm selecting partial 7. And in the right side, we'll have several views, and we have four tabs. The first tab that is not selected is cluster queues, but at this time it's empty, then I didn't want to show it. The second tab is called cluster topics, again it's empty. The third one is called cluster sender channels. And in this case right now we have two. And the fourth tab is a cluster receiver channel. It has only one and it has really no interest to us for the discussion. Now let's see what we have in the two. The first entry, if we go to the right, it's called definition type. It says auto cluster sender. Auto cluster sender, it means this is the automatically created channel. And the second one is the one that we use to register the queue manager to the cluster, and it's called auto explicit cluster sender. Explicit in the sense that it was done manually. I don't know why it says auto when it was not automatic, but that's the terminology. Then let's go to page 13. This is another view of the channels. This is the view for the specific queue manager, regardless of the context of clusters. And this is done by opening the queue manager's folder and then select the specific queue manager and then select the folder for channels. And there could be more channels, but in this case, these are the two. They don't begin with the system dot something. And this is the convention for channels. It's TO for two words, dot, and then the name of the queue manager. And we have a cluster receiver and we have a cluster sender. In this case, we have the ones that are shown here are the ones that are explicitly created manually. The ones that are automatically by the clusters are not shown here. And the reason I wanted to show you this screen and the previous one is because sometimes when dealing with customers and we say, well, do you have any cluster sender channels that are created automatically? Usually they will come to this view and they will not see those cluster automatically created cluster channels. They will not see them in this view. They will have to go to the other view, the ones in page 12, in order to see those automatically created channels. Let's go to page 14. One way to see the channels in using running QSC without the graphics is to use running QSC and then display channel, open parentheses, uppercase T, as in Tom, uppercase O, dot star, and then close parentheses. In that way, you will see only two entries, the ones that have been created manually. Okay, let's go to page 15. There is a way to look at the cluster information, and there is a command called amqrfdm. MQ Explorer, I think, is using this under the covers. But if you want to see it, not in graphical way, but just in text, then you can use this tool. This tool is invoked by the MQ utility called runmqras if you specify minus section space cluster. If you run this utility just manually with that runmqras and so on, you need to specify the flag minus D for default. There are some other ways to invoke this utility, but this is the one that works, okay? And this slide shows you a way to specify the utility for Unix and for Windows. Then let's go to page number 16 and let's take a look at some of the entries. In this case, I wanted to show you about what is the connection. This is from the full repository, number one. I wanted to show you what is the cluster sender. And you can see the name of the channel, and then the transmission queue is the system.cluster.transmit.queue, and then it has what is the connection name towards that full repository, and it's telling you that is the auto join in use, like at the end in the, something called the queue and flags. You will see repos close sender auto join, means that this is an automatically created channel. Let's go to page 17. I wanted to include this slide and the next, and this is just a good text from the online manual about configuring a Polish subscriber cluster. And the idea is that there are two, if you have a cluster in of queue managers, then you have two options for using PubSub. One, we talked in the previous presentation, is direct, which is the default. And the other is the topic host. And let's go to page 18. And in version 8, the option was added for topic host. If you are using MQ 7.5, the only choice is direct route. But some customers mentioned, well, I have a large cluster, I would like to minimize the impact of using PubSub in my large cluster. Then a new feature was added in version 8 and is called the topic host. And all managers in the cluster become aware of the cluster queue managers that host the routed topic definition. We'll explain that later and with more details and with examples. Basically, is you have to choose a queue manager where you are going to define the objects there. If you want to create a topic, you have to go to that designated queue manager and create the cluster topic there. And then you have to use clroute topic host in order to indicate this is the queue manager that I wanted to be the topic host that will broadcast messages to the subscribers. Now, the other queue managers will be aware about this topic host queue manager, and they will delegate the broadcasting to the subscribers to that particular queue manager. And this will reduce drastically the connection and the network traffic between other partial repositories. Let's go to page 19. What we'll do is we'll add a cluster topic object and a publisher in partial repository 4 and a subscriber in partial repository 7. This means that partial 4 will be the host for any publishing activity related to this topic. Then partial 4 will be the topic host routing queue manager. At this point, we have not yet defined the cluster topic, but I want just to mention that there are no cluster sender channels between the PR4 and PR7. Okay, then let's go to page 20. So far, this is the view before we start doing something. PR4 is shown here in red, and we'll have the clustered topic sales, and there will be a publisher to that clustered topic and that is connected to PR4. On the other side, on the right side of the diagram, we have PR7 and we'll have a subscriber. Right now, because we have not defined anything, there is no channel between these two partial repositories. Let's go to page 21. How do we define a clustered topic? It is shown here at the top. We have to log on as an MQ administrator to partial repository 4 because that's the one that we wanted to be, to have the capability to be the topic host, queue manager. And we'll do a define topic with the topic string. And we have to specify the name of the cluster. And what is really important is the clroute topic host. And then after it's created, I did a display topic sales in order to see what are all the attributes. We can see there are many attributes related to the clusters and so on, but we'll not go into the details for these guys at this point. Let's go to page 22. Let's take a look at what happened. Once we created the cluster topic, the partial repository 4 says, oh, this is a cluster activity. Therefore, I need to communicate it to the one full repository that there is a new cluster topic. And I am, partial 4, going to be the topic host. Then one of the full repositories, then it will broadcast it to the other full repository and to everybody else. Then after all this broadcasting happens, then everybody else will know that there is a cluster topic called sales and resides in the partial repository 4 and that is a topic host. Then how do we see these cluster topics? What we see is we go on the view of the queue manager clusters at the bottom of the navigation panel in the MQ Explorer. We open the second tab that is cluster topics and we'll see the information. You will see just a single long row with all that information. What I wanted to do is there were some columns very far on the right that I wanted to show you, and like a cluster name, cluster queue manager, cluster route, and so on. And I just copy and paste here at the bottom. Let's go to page 23. Now, one of the main things about networking pops up is that you can publish from one queue manager in the cluster and you can have a subscriber in another partial repository. Then somehow they have to tell each other, hey, I am a subscriber to this cluster topic. And somehow the publisher in another queue manager needs to know that eventually that subscriber in another queue manager needs to receive one of the messages that are published. Let's go to page number 24. At this point, we have created the cluster topic sales in partial repository number 4. That repository told the full repository, one of the full repositories then sent a notification to everybody else. Now everybody else knows about this topic called sales. Then I'm just taking at random a partial repository 6 and a partial repository 8, and I'm looking at the cluster topics and I see it. I see that each one of these partial repositories have the knowledge that there is a cluster topic called sales and that resides in PR4. Let's go to page 25. This is from the output of the utility to view the cluster cache. And there is something that I wanted to point out, and is this. For each clustered topic, you will have two entries in the cache. One is the topic object, and it's just called topic. Like here, for example, it says topic sales. And then it has a bunch of properties, and one of them that I highlighted here in red is called routing. And there are two values. The value 0 means direct route, and the value of 1 is topic host. Now, the contents of this utility is not documented, but I wanted to let you know that that's the meaning of that routing one. Then, in, for example, if you're just looking at the cache for the cluster and you say, well, how do I know if this is the direct route or topic host? Well, that's the key here. The parameter called routing, if it's 0 is direct route, if it's 1 is topic host. Now, the second entry that I mentioned that is related to the topic is there is called top str for topic string, and that's where you will see the actual string, like lowercase sales. Then let's go to page 26. At this point in the scenario, everybody in the cluster knows about the cluster topic called sales and that it resides in partial repository number 4. Okay, I just wanted to show graphically the state. Everybody knows where the topic, which is the topic host and what are the cluster topics. And let's go to page 27. This is now the contrast with direct route. Let me tell you this. Because we designated partial repository 4 as the topic host, and that's the queue manager that is going to broadcast to all subscribers, which means potentially there could be a subscriber in every single other partial repository. Therefore, this queue manager needs to have connectivity to everybody else. And this is what I wanted to show you, that I'm selecting PR4, which is our topic host queue manager, and then I'm looking at the cluster sender channels. Originally, we started only with the two at the top, the ones that connected to the full repository. And now there are 6 new entries, one for each of the other partial repositories. So far, this page 27, it looks like a direct route. This is the view that we have for every single queue manager with direct route. Then so far, we don't see yet the difference. Let's go to page 28. Now here we see the difference because I'm selecting the partial repository 7, which is not a topic host queue manager. And this queue manager, because it's not a topic host queue manager, will have only one connection to the topic host PR4, but it will not be connected to all of the other partial repositories. Then in this case, in the previous slide, we have 7 connections. Here we'll have only 3 connections, only to the topic host queue manager. And that's a big difference. That's really the main difference over here. Let's go to page 29. I hope that this is not going to be confusing. Copy this slide from the previous presentation. This slide shows the view from the direct route. In this particular case, in the previous presentation, the partial repository 6 was not involved in any of the scenarios, but still it had cluster senders to every other queue manager. And this is what we are avoiding. We are not having this in topic host. If a queue manager is not involved, but is part of the cluster, we'll have only one connection to the topic host queue manager, but not the other connections. Let's go to page 30. Let's have a little summary. In a topic host routing cluster, all partial repositories have cluster sender channels to the topic host. In this case, it's PR4. And only the topic host, which is PR4, has connectivity to the other queue managers. As we can see, for example, partial repository number 3 is connected to partial 4, but it's not connected to partial 6. Okay. Contrast this view with the next one in page 31, which I borrow from the presentation of direct route. This view is from the direct route in which everybody is connected to everybody. Hopefully you will see the difference. I mean, right now, and that's the reason in this I wanted to use a topology of at least 6 partial repositories. With 4, it was difficult to see. With 2, impossible to see. But I didn't want to spend too much time drawing all those lines for 50 queue managers. But I thought, a cluster of 8 queue managers was a good size to show the difference. Then let's go to page 32. This is a partial view of the cluster cache for PR7. It shows the only cluster sender to the partial fork, which is our topic host queue manager. In the direct route clusters, we had entries for every other queue manager. Here, partial 7 is not a topic host, it has only one cluster sender. And I'm sorry that I'm just highlighting constantly this particular aspect, but that's the main difference, and that's what makes this topology more attractive for large clusters. Let's go to page 33. Now that we understand that the definition for the cluster topic was broadcasted to all the queue managers, and that the topic host queue manager is connected to all the others, but not the others between themselves, then let's proceed with the second part of our scenario, which was, let's have a subscriber in PR7. And this is a subscriber, define the sub, a subscriber, and the topic string is sales. Sales happens to be a cluster topic, and that's the reason something else would be happening, because the queue manager says, oh, this is an activity related to the clusters. Then let's go to page number 34. The first thing we are going to do is just make sure that it's added as a proper subscriber. Here we have a view that shows the subscriptions for PR7. PR7 has a subscriber to sales, okay? The views for the subscribers is better to show all the system objects, because one of the things that I'm going to show you is that there will be entries later on for another queue manager called proxy subscribers. And even though it doesn't begin with the word system, the name for the subscriber, it still is considered a system subscriber, and it's not going to be shown unless you click on the icon to show all the system objects. Then let's toggle that. It's a toggle. If you click it again, you hide the system objects. You click it one more time, then you will show again the system objects. Let's go to page 35. Let's go to the partial repository 4, which is where we have defined the cluster topic, and that's where we are going to do the publishing. And I publish in PR4. Now the question is, how does PR4 know that it needs to send a message to a subscriber that is in PR7? How do we know? And let's go to page 36. This is accomplished by something called a proxy subscriber. The handling of this proxy subscriber is different between the direct route and the topic host cluster. In a direct route, the knowledge about subscriber was broadcasted to all the partial repositories. In contrast, in the topic host, the notification about where are the subscribers is only sent to the topic host, in this case, our partial 4. And the proxy subscriber will specify what is the topic string, the destination queue manager, the cluster name, and a few other items, okay? But these are the proxy subscribers who are really going to tell the queue manager which are the subscribers that want to receive messages for this topic. And let's go to page 37. For the moment, I wanted to show you is this is the view of all the subscribers in a partial repository that is not a topic host queue manager. In this case, PR6, which is not part of the scenario. Notice that there are no proxy subscribers, and on purpose I have a red box around an empty row to indicate that there are no proxy subscribers right there, okay? If we were using the direct route, this queue manager, even though is not going to be part of the scenario, was going to have a proxy sub, okay? Again, this is a difference with respect to the two types of clusters for PubSub. Let's go to page 38. PR6 is not a topic host, but it's not part of the scenario, doesn't have a subscriber and so on. It still knows about the cluster topic sales because potentially there could be a publisher there or a subscriber there. Then again, in PubSub, we have two things. We have publisher to a topic and we have subscriber to a topic. The proxy subscribers are just from the subscriber point of view. And this partial repository number 6 doesn't do any broadcasting to the subscribers. It will be through the topic host, which is PR4. And let's go to page 39. Let's go now to PR4, the topic host, and let's take a look at the topic status. In the topic status, we see highlighted that is sales, and then there is a column for subscriber count, and the value there is 1. This number 1 indicates that there is one subscriber in that this queue manager knows about, but we have not defined explicitly a subscriber in PR4. Therefore, why do we have a number 1 there? Because there is an entity called a proxy subscriber that is representing a subscriber that is located in another queue manager. And let's go to page 40. Here, we'll have the following. We have these proxy subscribers that will be shown in the MQ Explorer, but if you want to see those proxy subscribers through RunMQSE, you can use the command display sub, the wildcard, subtype proxy, and then all if you want to see all the attributes. In this case, what we have is a name that contains spaces in there. In this case, it's a subscriber called system proxy to sales. The name itself, it doesn't tell us a little bit that is related to the topic object called sales. But then the second item is, what is the name of the cluster? The next item is PR7, which is the queue manager that has that subscriber. And what is the cell, the topic? This is telling us that there is a subscriber in PR7, which is also shown here as a destination queue manager, that is registered for the topic string sales. And it is a proxy. There is a subtype proxy here. And this guy is representing the subscriber in another queue manager. Let's go to page 41. Then what do we have right now? What we have is this. We have PR4, which is the queue manager that is the topic host, and it knows about a proxy subscriber in PR7. In PR7, we have the local subscriber PR7. But notice that the other queue managers, the other partials, do not know about that that subscriber in PR7. They don't, because they are not going to broadcast to PR7 directly, therefore they don't need to do it. And I have a more complicated scenario almost at the end of the presentation that hopefully will clarify more some of these details. Let's go to page 42. This is a view of the direct route. The same scenario with direct route, then everybody knows about all proxies. As you can see, there is a lot of redundancy in direct route. Let's go to page 43. If we refresh the view of showing all the subscriptions, now we see that we have a new entry, and we have now the proxy subscriber for the subscriber in partial repository 7. And we saw earlier in slide how the text looks like for the proxy subscriber. Let's go to page 44. Because of the proxy subscriber, once we do a publishing on sales, the queue manager will say, okay, I need to find out what are the subscribers that need to receive a copy of this message that is just published. Oh, there is a proxy subscriber in PR7. Therefore, I'm going to send the message to PR7. PR7 receives that message, gives it to the subscriber, which happens that is using a provided queue, and therefore the message arrives to a queue called QS3, and the value is 1. Then let's go to page number 45. In this one, I'm browsing that message that was received in PR7, and we see that there is a field, reply to queue manager, and it's indicating the PR4 is this queue manager that originated that message. A publisher in PR4 published a message, and it was received in a subscriber in a different queue manager. Let's go to page 46, because PR4 sent a message to PR7. That channel was originally inactive, now is active. As you can see, it's a little green arrow that is the connection between PR4 and PR7. Let's go to page 47. And this is the summary. We have a publisher to the cluster topic sales that is connected to PR4. PR4 is the topic host queue manager. It has a proxy subscriber for PR7 and sends the message to that local subscriber in PR7. Then right now, there is not too much difference really from with the direct route, because from PR4, we go directly to PR7. And we are not seeing yet the scenarios that illustrate the difference between direct route and topic host routing. And I'm going to make it a little bit more complicated. Let's go to page 48. I'm going to use two other partial repositories. PR5 will have a publisher. PR8 will have a subscriber. Then let's go to page 49, and this is what we want it to look like. We are going to use PR5 and PR8 at the bottom of the diagram. And there will be three steps, and hopefully this is the scenario that I hope will give you a better idea of what's going on, because we are separating now the roles. In the previous scenario, the role of the publisher and the topic host queue manager was the same one. Then it was difficult to see the roles. There were two roles into one queue manager. Now I wanted to separate it, but I didn't want to start with this because it was a little bit more complicated. Then that's the reason I'm doing that sequence. Then let's do the following. The step number one, the publisher in PR5 is going to publish to the cluster topic. Okay, then the publisher here in the middle between the two hosts is going to be connected to PR5. PR5 knows about the cluster topic sales. Everybody knows about the cluster topic sales. Everybody knows. Part of the topic, they know that it's a cluster topic that has a topic host of PR4. Therefore, PR5 is not going to broadcast to all of the queue managers that have a subscriber the Polish message. Instead, PR5 will forward to the topic host, which is, that's the step number two. PR5 sends message to PR4, which is the topic host. Now, PR4 knows which are the proxy subscribers, and it knows that there is one in PR7. We had already a local subscriber, PR7, but because we are creating a subscriber in PR8, then that knowledge is in PR4. Therefore, PR4 is going to broadcast, which is step number three. It knows which are the subscribers and is going to send it to PR7, PR8. Now, as you can see, PR5 was the originator of the published message. PR5 doesn't send it to PR7 or PR8. PR5 sends it only to one, and PR4 is the designated driver, in a sense, and is going to broadcast to all those queue managers that have a subscriber. And in this case, it's PR7, PR8. Now, imagine that we have 100 queue managers in this topology. Well, PR5 is going to publish and will send only one message to PR4. PR4 potentially could send it to 98, 95 of those other queue managers that have a subscriber. Only PR4 is the one that will be connected to everybody else. Then let's go to page 15, just to tell you how all these pieces get together. PR5 knows that there is a cluster topic, and the topic host is PR4. Let's go to page 51. PR5 does not know about remote subscribers, but it knows that the topic host PR4 is the one to broadcast messages to subscribers. Therefore, let's go to page 52. PR4 knows at this moment that there is a subscriber in PR7, which is the main scenario that we covered early in the presentation. Let's go to page 53. And PR5 knows that there is a cluster sender to PR4, but right now is inactive. Page 54, partial repository 8 knows that there is a cluster topic sales and the topic host is PR4. This means that when a new subscriber is created in PR8, a notification needs to be sent to PR4 and not to broadcast to all other PRs as in the direct route cluster. Let's go to page 55. Then what we are going to do is create a non-durable subscriber by selecting the test subscription dialog from the topic string sales in the topic view. Then what I did was open PR8 and then topics, then topic status, selected sales and said test subscriber subscription, and we have a subscriber. Just by having this subscriber, then PR8 send a message only to PR4 to say, hey, PR4, we have a subscriber for you. Let's go to page 56. PR4 will know that there is a subscriber in PR8, and it's highlighted here in red, and it says system proxy to sales cluster root. Now, it's very similar in name to the previous subscriber, proxy subscriber, but has the difference in what is the destination queue manager. Let's go to page 57. This is a view of PR6, which is not involved in the scenario, and as you can see, it does not have proxy subscribers. Again, this is a difference. In direct route, this PR6 will know about all subscribers. In this case, we are sparing all those queue managers that do not need to be involved. We're sparing them from knowing subscribers and having redundancy that they will not know what to do. It's just busy work for them. 58. Okay, then what we are going to do here is in PR5, we publish a message using test publish. PR5 forwards the message to topic host PR4. PR4 knows from proxy subs that needs to send a message to PR8, and the subscriber in PR8 receives it. We have a publish text message dialog. We publish on the right side, then we receive that message. And in 59, the cluster sender in PR5 to PR4 becomes active. Page 60, this is the view from the PR4. The cluster sender to PR8 becomes active, and because in the previous scenario, the cluster sender to PR7 was already active, that's the reason we have two active channels. We do not have active channels to PR3, PR5, PR6, because we are not sending things to them from PR4. Let's go to page 61. Okay, what happens now if we close the test subscriber in PR8? It was a non-durable subscription. By closing that dialog, then that PR8 says, hey, I need to tell the PR4 to delete the proxy subscriber because I don't have a subscriber anymore. Then that knowledge is sent to PR4. PR4 is going to remove that proxy subscriber. In contrast, in direct route, that action will have to be broadcasted to everybody else, making direct route really busy for large clusters. With this, hopefully you are seeing that the traffic is being limited only to those queue managers that will really take action. Let's go to page 62. PR5 is the one who actually is doing the publishing, because that was the publisher associated to queue manager 5. PR5 is sending the message to PR4 because it's delegating to PR4 the broadcasting to the subscribers. There were two subscribers in 7 and 8, and they received the message from PR4, not from PR5. But is there a way for the message that is received by the subscriber to say, which is the queue manager that really originated, where the publisher was? Yes, the message itself has a value called reply to queue manager, and the value is for PR5, which is where the publisher was. It's not the one who is just broadcasting. Again, partial repository 4, it's a topic host, it's just everybody's delegating to that repository the task of broadcasting, but that one didn't really originate the message. It's just passing the message along. Then this is page 63. It's just a summary, again, of the steps that are taken. Hopefully, by seeing it twice, the same thing, you can see that the publisher talks to one queue manager that is not the topic host, that PR5 in this case. PR5 passes the message to PR4, who is the topic host queue manager. PR4 knows that there are subscribers in other queue managers, and then it sends it to the subscriber. Let's go to page 64. Okay, this is now a comparison about the number of intermediaries that are shown. Direct route, there are no intermediaries. Then if we were publishing in 5 and there is a subscriber in 7, we'll send it directly from 5 to 7. But in topic host, it's different. If PR5 is not the topic host, it needs to forward to the topic host, which in this scenario is PR4, and that's the one that will forward the message to PR7. Therefore, there is one intermediary. Direct route does not have intermediary. It's direct route. That's the definition. Direct route, no intermediaries. The other one is topic host. There is an intermediary. Let's go to page 65. And here I wanted to show you a comparison. And let's go row by row. The first row, it says, partials know about cluster topic. In direct route and topic host, all partials know about cluster topics. Why? Because potentially they could have publishers there. Now let's go to the second row. PRs know about proxy subscribers. In direct route, that's correct. All of the PRs know about the proxy subscribers. Let's go to the other column. In the topic host, only the topic host will know about the proxy subscribers. Okay, let's go to row number 3. Cluster sender channels for PRs. In direct route, each queue manager is connected to all other queue managers. Let's go to the other column, the topic host. The cluster channels are only between the topic host queue manager and the PRs. The last row is about intermediaries and the number of hubs, and in direct route, there are none. It's direct. And for the topic host, there is one. There is the topic host. Then if you have, for example, in the last scenario was partial 5, is not a topic host, then it has to go to an intermediary that is topic host number 4, and then reaching the destination queue manager. Okay, page 66 and the drawback. Because if the publishers and subscribers are not located in the topic host queue managers, the need of having an intermediary may result in a longer route for publications, and by going through an intermediary, there could be some delays between the publishing and the receiving of the message by the subscriber. Now, the benefit is that we are only the topic host queue managers become aware of all other managers in the cluster and potentially have cluster channels established between them, then reduces a lot the traffic. Let's go to page 67, and that's the end of the presentation. Thank you very much. Until the next one.